everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 224. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
And what's going on, as always? How are you?
Oh, you know, and you know what a loaded question that is, so why do you keep asking me?
Because one day you're going to slip up and tell us.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in Florida, everybody.
Fair enough.
I'm in Florida.
It's hot.
It is. It's actually, it's hitting the 80s now.
Oof.
Already.
Humidity?
Not so much yet.
Oh, all right, that's good.
But I did go for an early morning run when it was only like 55 out, which is nice.
Not bad.
No, it was actually very nice, and I can still walk, so there's a bonus there. Any exercise you can walk away from.
That's how I live.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yesterday,
how are you?
Up here on Long Island, yesterday felt like spring. It was great. Mm-hmm. I had the windows open for the first time this year to let the air in, and it was a nice breeze. Figure, you know what? It's going to be warm for a while. I woke up. God, it was so cold in here. I'm like, let me close all the windows and jack the heat up.
There you go. It's that, you know, there's that weird time of year when the weather is kind of like that. Like, I've gotten used to this type of weather because in LA, it was always like a 25 degree difference between mm-hmm. day and night. So I was always like, it's cold at night. It's really hot in the day. So just par for the course.
All right. And there's your weather forecast, folks, for the Retro Gamers Podcast.
There you go. There is your retro weather. since this drops on Tuesday, and I'm giving you Saturday's weather.
Yes. As a blizzard rolls in everywhere. But we got some cool stuff to talk about this week.
We do.
I figured, why not? What the heck? Let's just get right into it.
As we should.
One thing I just want to mention just super quick. You know, last week I talked about all the Kickstarter campaigns that I'm in.
And you made me buy one.
Yes, and it went. So we got charged.
It did.
Yes, we did.
We definitely got charged. I now own a book that will be out in like 3 years.
Just about. I think it's due next year.
Yes.
Yeah. And on top of that, forget about all the pre-orders that I have from Strictly Limited Games that are westernizing a lot of these Japanese exclusive games, like some of the Darius collections, Cotton. I forget there was another game that there was. And I'm waiting for those. Lord knows when those are going to ship. Oh, the Space Invaders game. Mm-hmm. So all those I'm waiting on. There's another website. They kind of work together. Retrobit and Castlemania games.
Castlemania
games. Okay. This is what they call themselves. Great companies. Fantastic companies. Like just recently, I pre-ordered a game called Undercover Cop, which was a Japanese beat-em-up akin to Final Fight. That's coming over to the Western market for the first time ever. Super Nintendo cart, very cool. But I also pre-ordered a few months ago, and of all my pre-orders, finally I got a shipping confirmation on something.
Oh,
finally.
And what was that?
For so long, I've been waiting for this. I've talked about it here. I finally got a shipping confirmation.
Wait. It must be the Polymega.
No, I need the Polymega, though, in order to be able to play with this pre-order that's shipping.
Oh, good Lord.
My Toeplan collection has shipped. It's a set of four shoot-em-ups. Mm-hmm. Truxton, Hellfire, Fire Shark, and Zero Wing. You know, all our base belong to us.
Yes.
Or to you. I always forget the full lines. But
us,
I
believe.
Yeah, but that is finally shipping. Four Genesis cartridges that, granted, I do have a regular Genesis. I have a Genesis clone system.
I just want one. Can you see it? No, you can't see it behind me.
Probably. It's in there somewhere.
No, it's, the JVC XI is next to the NES.
That works.
On the top there. There it is.
Have you even turned that on?
I have. It works great.
Okay, good.
I turned it on and played, what did I play on it? Really? Like, I think I threw in Sewer Shark really quickly just to see how it worked.
Niner. So this Toeplan collection is shipping. I should get it actually Monday, and I'm actually excited. I bought the collector's edition, so very excited. I'll show it off the following week and everything like that. So,
cool.
So Polymega, get off your ass and start shipping, please.
Well, they are shipping. You're just not shipping to you right now.
No, I think they're having issues with one of the other distributors in like Malaysia or something like that. I think that's the issue.
Oh, those Malaysians. So,
That's look, they're good to go with China, but Malaysia having some problems. So okay. I think there's a revolution happening over there, and I'm not even joking.
No.
There's some sort of uprising.
There is something going on there. Yeah. So I guess Polymega takes the back
seat. If you're listening in Malaysia and you're part of the uprising, can you just move away from the factory that's dealing with the Polymega? I just want this system. Once it ships, you can go back and set fire to whatever you want.
Yeah, priorities, people.
Honestly.
We need our consoles.
But I am looking forward to this. It's going to be pretty cool. And again, I'll show it off next week.
We're going to burn in hell for that.
Well, I'm good.
You're on your way.
I'm driving the bus. So
that's true. As long as my hell is like 8 or 16 bit, that's all I ask. Like, I want to be surrounded by that kind of fire.
What was the meme going around of this is what lava sounds like?
Oh yeah,
it was level the same.
It was an actual eruption, and they were playing the Mario Underground music.
Yeah, oh my god. So I got that coming in, and there's actually one other thing I purchased recently. This is nothing major. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not going to blow your stacks for this thing, but as you know, of course. I'm digital, right? But I still have a lot of physical formats. All my PS1 games, my Xbox One, my original Xbox games, some 360s, and a ton of movies and DVDs that I just haven't converted yet. So I have a ton of the zipper CD holders, you know what I'm talking about? Like these thick binders that hold CDs. And I got a bunch of them. Like, all right, cool. But I'm always trying to consolidate. And I found this thing on Amazon. You can also go to unikeep.com, UNIKEEP.com. Okay. It's a binder, but it's a much sturdier binder. Check this thing out.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So it's
well, it's like a hard plastic binder.
That's what's awesome. It's a hard plastic binder. As you can see how thin, I mean, this is going to be more for the video, so don't get me wrong.
Right.
You can see how thin it is, you know, compared to some of these other zipper binders.
Yep.
These hold 80 CDs. This thing is holding 80 CDs. Look how thin it is.
That's really cool. And what I really like about it, I mean, granted, I have a lot of like I have two of those bigger binders for my DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like about that is it slips on the shelf like a hardcover book.
Very much so. Yeah. It's protected. And I mean, the games just slip in, slip out. Very simple. Yep. I mean, again.
I wouldn't use it for video games because I have like my video game cases.
No, of course.
But DVDs that, and actually my music CDs, I would love to get them for because I still have music CDs.
Here's the thing. They're sold as stackable, probably because they're hardcover. I don't really see anything linking them, but probably because it's hard and sturdy. But here's the real cool thing. Now, I ordered that off of Amazon, but I did go to the website, unikeep.com, just to see what they have.
Right.
Now, for the listeners listening on the audio only podcast, it's got a PlayStation theme on this. All the X, the O, the square, and the triangle.
Yeah, I saw that, which is really cool.
No, very cool. They have an Xbox theme. You know, not officially licensed, so, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But a theme. When you go to the website, though, you can buy, like, they're all the same price, don't get me wrong. But you can buy a music binder that kind of has a music theme to it. You can buy smaller binders. You can buy larger binders. Not just for CDs, though. I was looking through it yesterday. If you have like collections for like stadium tickets,
Game Boy Advance, I'm looking at right now.
That's what I was going to get into. Yeah. All right, so let's stick to the gaming then. They have these binders for Nintendo Switch games loose.
Wow.
Which is, it's like a foam insert and just put the games in.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. These are amazing.
The 3DS one, the Game Boy Advance one, which I very might buy those. I'm seriously thinking about buying those.
Damn it, you're going to make me spend money on this.
I have to buy at least two more of these 80 capacities because I still got a ton of like old, I got like old WWE DVDs. I really should get rid of all the pay-per-view ones though. All those DVDs and some, like I said, movies I can't convert to digital yet. Yep. Television series that I haven't bought yet.
Whoa.
What'd you find?
Trading card storage.
Trading card. So your standard trading card, coins, stamps. Like I said, coasters, people who collect coasters. These things were around back when I was doing it. When, like, again, concert tickets and stuff, I've Yep. I used to hold on to all of that stuff.
Oh yeah, no. But just so you know, also like Magic the Gathering, like this is trading card, like Pokemon, they have a
Oh, they're
Pokemon
the
themed
themes.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all themed out, really Garbage Pail Kids.
And they're about $21, which I don't think is a bad price at all for something like this.
No, not at all.
And you can buy extra inserts alone and stuff. So check it out. Again, Unikeep.
If
You
you,
I
yeah,
just want
if
to say UNIKEEP.com.
I'm just curious, if you bought extra inserts, how many could fit in one binder
You know,
comfortably?
you're right. That's what I'm trying to look at.
That's the like, because 80 might be the limit. Like, I
So
can't imagine adding more to it.
I'm at the limit, right? I got 80. All right, I got 78 games in here.
Right.
And if you look already at the spine, it's getting close.
Yep. Ooh.
So
That's interesting too. They have, for those of you outside of video games, they have stamps, they have coins, recipes,
a bunch of
to your
cool different
point,
stuff.
movie tickets, postcards. Like they really run the.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do a comic book binder.
You just get the like
Yeah.
single inserts.
No,
I
I
got
know.
those from
Just
magazines.
really, really interesting.
Yes, I
Link
know.
agrees. Link agrees. He thinks
Link
this is
gave his stamp
awesome.
of approval.
He gives a stamp of approval over everything, as long as I give him attention.
So
Right,
check them
Brat?
out. You know, I'm not, I, trust, I'm not doing an affiliate program with them. I got the piece. I love it. I think it's really cool. And they do key holders as well. So check them out.
Yeah, very cool. It is a full capacity at 80. I don't you can't add any more
Okay, fair
to it,
enough.
just a heads
I'd
up.
rather not. Even the ones I've bought, the binders, where I haven't added anything, and by the time I fill it, it's stretching, it's loose already. This one's holding up. So.
Yep. No. I
All right,
am,
cool.
yeah, very, very clever and good call pointing that
Yeah,
out.
finally. So, did you happen to purchase? I feel like I'm the one who's always spending my money. Do you not spend money? Like, I don't get it.
No, I mean, I spend money. I just don't spend money like you do.
What is that supposed to mean?
You're a spendthrift.
Fair enough.
How's that?
I'm going to Game On when we're done.
Yeah, see, exactly. Just my point. Well, no, here's the look, here's the thing with me and spending money. I have no problem spending my money. Trust me, I spend my money. But I've been, well, first off, the last month or the last month and a half, a lot of my money went into the GameStop stock frenzy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So, which by the way, I am now currently reaping benefits from
Oh, good for you.
because it's going up again and it's doing well.
Okay.
How high it goes, totally different story, because it may just come crashing down tomorrow or Monday and that'll be the end of it.
Like, what the hell is Electronics Boutique stock?
Yeah, exactly. That's my next purchase. But no. Like my whole thing lately has been like I do an ebb and flow with my shopping. Like for a while I buy a whole bunch of stuff and then I just kind of like and then I just like hit a dry spell. So like right now I'm just kind of in the middle of a dry spell where I'm not buying much. But also in my brain I'm not thinking about anything specific that I want to grab. And again, because I'm not let's face it, because of the pandemic and everything like that, I'm not going out because that's where a lot of my shopping is more brick and mortar for retro games. I don't like to buy them online for the most part. I want to go to a store, I want to see what they have, and I want to pick something up.
Even physical copies. You'd rather go.
Right. I'm a
Okay,
physical
fair
copy. You
enough.
know I'm a physical copy guy for the
No, no,
most
no.
part.
No, I don't mean that. I mean like you'd rather go to GameStop and pick up the game than order on Amazon.
Well, no. For like new stuff, I have no problem ordering it online.
Okay.
That's it. And when I'm talking retro stuff, I want to
Oh,
go to the
I'm
store.
sorry. Okay, I got you. I got you.
When I'm
Okay.
retro shopping, I like to go to the store.
Agreed.
So, that's always, and that's been my issue for the past year where it's like I haven't set foot in a game store. So I haven't really been buying that much retro. So I haven't, yeah. So that's really the reason why, like, you're spending a ton of money and I'm not. You're going to Game On regularly. I haven't really found a video game store out here yet. So, but that's not a GameStop, basically.
That's not being publicly shared.
Essentially, yes. Thank you, Wall Street Bets. But I think, in terms of like, so basically, most of what I've been buying has been newer stuff. Newer stuff through, yeah. So newer stuff, or I'm like doing digital downloads. So, like perfect example, PlayStation Plus. They had like four free games this month if you had a PS5. There were three free ones for PS4 and a fourth one for PS5.
Oh, yes, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
So I downloaded those.
Well, that's free, so I don't blame you.
Well, they're free. I downloaded those are free, and I played through the PS5 exclusive. Or the PS5, the one that was only for PS5, which was called Maquette. And it was perfect timing because I had just completed while I was doing my contact trace quarantine for a week. I blew through The Last of Us.
Oh, did you? The first one or the second one?
The first one. I had never played the first one, and I've had it for the longest time. So I'm like, you know what? I'll play through it. Excellent game. Absolutely excellent. It was basically like playing through a season of The Walking Dead. That's what it felt like to me. So very, very good. And a good season of The Walking Dead, not the crappy seasons.
Early seasons, not later seasons.
Yeah, the early seasons, not the garbage now. So really, really good. Excellent game. And then I went, and then usually after, lately I've noticed, like after I play like one of those kinds of games, like the really like intense, involved kind of games, and I had just done Final Fantasy VII. I finished Final Fantasy VII before that, which by the way is one of the free games for March. So if you haven't downloaded that yet, download it. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Wait, I have it.
Yeah. But Frankie actually just played through it. Our friend Frankie played through it, and he literally told me, he's like, I don't want to finish it because I don't want it to end. I love it so much. I said, I told you that. Told you you would love it.
I don't want to finish it. I'm just going to put it down.
Exactly. Well, that's what I did. Well, that's why it took me like essentially almost a year to get through it, because I literally took my time to enjoy it.
We had to do the arbitrary Frankie impersonation for the three people who get it,
who know who Frankie is.
Love you, Frankie.
So finish Final Fantasy VII Remake, finish Last of Us, and then I went on to Maquette, which is the PS5 free game, and it's a puzzle game. I love puzzle games, right? Mm-hmm. That's my thing. But I also like them because most puzzle games, they're very, very calm. They're very calming. It's like the music is nice and soothing.
Yep.
You kind of, it's a free open space that you kind of just wander around, and I'm just like, I need those games to kind of calm myself down because life is crazy.
I agree with you. I did that with, I do that with Pacross. Any version of Pacross. I'll just, you know, just get that music going, soothing.
Yeah.
And just, and you know, they have the Super Mario, Super Pacross on the Super NES on the Switch.
Yes.
The American version that you can play. It's, I mean, it's in Japanese, but the game is playable anyway. I don't know if you've ever played it. I think you would get a kick out of those games.
Actually, I started to play Pacross on the Switch because the NES Online had it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I tried Pacross and I like it. It's cool.
I love that series. But I hear what you're talking about the calming. So
yeah, so I played through Maquette, and Maquette is basically, it's really interesting. The game is like, again, it's first person, but you have a maquette of this neighborhood, essentially, like these four quadrants of a neighborhood. But then when you walk, like, so it's set up and you look at it. And then when you walk outside of the maquette building, it's the larger versions of that neighborhood. So basically the maquette is just a representation of the neighborhood around you.
Oh, I see.
And the way that you solve the puzzles is through size. So like if you drop something in the maquette, like an item in the maquette, it appears in the neighborhood as a large size. Oh, or if you drop it in the large neighborhood, it appears miniature in the maquette.
That's weird.
So you got to figure out where to, like, how to place things and how, like, what size they need to be in order to, like, access stuff. But essentially the entire story it's a short game. So I'm glad it was free. It's a short game. But the story is about a relationship, like a man and woman finding each other, falling in love, and then essentially how their relationship progresses. And that's the entire story of the game. So it was actually like a really, like, it doesn't take that long to beat. It took me like maybe 3 or 4 hours max.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really cool, beautiful little story. The graphics are pretty and all that. So, you know, it was a fun game.
Okay.
And on to purchases, which you're asking me. I just purchased a game, and I think the sale just ended a couple days ago too. But I've been waiting for it to go on sale for a while. It's a game called Rime, R-I-M-E.
Oh, why do I feel like I'm familiar with that?
It's another puzzle game, but it's more of a third person exploration. So it's about a little boy exploring this island, and obviously he has to solve puzzles to access different parts of the island, and as he's accessing these parts of the island, you're getting story beats of, you know, what happened to this boy in his life. And it's just it's like the music is beautiful, you know what was funny, the graphics of it reminded me, it didn't remind me entirely of Wind Waker because it's more 3D than Wind Waker, but it felt a little bit like that.
I'm looking at photos now. If anyone searches for Rime, it does have, like, right off the bat, it has a Wind Waker feel to it.
Right, but just the open exploration part, and then it's all about exploration, discovery, and puzzle solving. But just a really like beautiful game. So I've been playing that for the last week,
Okay.
and I'm just loving every minute of it. So that and literally, I think that's the only game I've purchased in the last like couple of weeks.
Good for
So
you. All
yeah,
right, cool.
but there are
Yeah, I
games I
can.
keep having my eyes on. So
Oh, yeah, that,
yeah.
forget it. Well, I'll tell you this much. Oh, go ahead.
Go
I'm
ahead.
sorry.
No, I was gonna say one of the games that I have my eyes on is something we're gonna talk about on the show. So
Oh, yeah, in a little bit. I just want to
I
mention
have
this.
it.
What? You
I'm
have
looking to
it.
see. Do I
Oh,
have it?
do you? I'm sure you have it.
I think
I'm pretty
you.
sure I got it for you.
Yes, you do. Okay, so
Okay,
I do have it. Never mind.
good. All right. I was gonna say this. I tried very diligently, of course, to no avail, to get a PS5. So I got the GameStop set up where they send me the notifications. Apparently, though, if I'm not anticipating the moment it goes on sale, it automatically goes away. But and of course, they're only selling them in bundles. Like you can't just buy a PS5. It's got to be in a bundle, which I'm fine
Correct.
with. But I sat there and I'm trying to get the digital edition. And it would have come with like with a second controller, I think a year. I would have paid for these, don't get me wrong. A year of PlayStation Plus and then like a $20 PlayStation gift card or something like that.
That's not a
Not
bad
bad at all. Not
bundle at
bad at
all.
all. But it wasn't going. But the one that was available would have been the PlayStation 5 with the optical drive. It would have come with Spider-Man, Call of Duty, and I think a second controller. And obviously, it was more money. And I could have gotten that one. But I thought to myself, I'm like, am I settling? Because I really don't want the one with the optical drive. It's not like I'm hell-bent against it. It's just not the one I want. And like, I'm not interested in Call of Duty, so that's kind of a waste of money. Because even if I try and sell it back, I'm not going to get the money that it's worth. Because it's not like the package, you're saving money. They're just packaging everything together. Obviously, Miles Morales, I would pick up and I would
Of
play.
course.
But I'm like, I don't want one of the games. I'm not interested in the optical drive, which is $100 more anyway.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna. I actually made a smart decision for the, I think, in my opinion. I held off on it. These are gonna come back. They're gonna be available eventually. You know what I mean? And for the most, no offense to you or anyone who has a PS5, right now it's just a jacked up PS4.
Well,
So I'm just saying, I'm not missing anything.
No. If I can add to that,
Okay.
I'm also not gonna lie and say like there's not a lot out on the PS5 that I would tell anybody you need to run out and get it immediately. Unless there's a game on there you're dying to play, right? Like Miles Morales is beautiful. Like I loved playing through that game. You can play it through on the PS4. It's out on the PS4 if you really want to play it now. Granted, it'll look better on the PS5, but
Which I'm all for. I'm all for
yeah,
graphics like
no.
that.
Yeah,
So.
and yeah, so I think, yeah, the PS5 will be a must-own at a certain point for sure. But in terms of the games that are out specifically for it right now, I don't think anybody's missing out on anything just yet. I mean, it's funny too, because like I laugh, my friend Rich, I play on Thursday nights on the PS5 with Rich and his friend Jack. And we've been doing that for like a couple months now, where we do Thursday night gaming. And I'm using my PS5 to play Uno.
I did that with the
I mean,
PS1.
but like, but that, but that's what I mean. I'm like, you know,
Game's addicting. The game is
oh no, it
addicting.
totally is. Like we just laugh the whole time we play it. It's really just along like we're kind of playing something simple
Of course.
while we're
Yeah.
talking to each other
Of
and
course.
laughing and
Yeah.
whatever. But yeah, but it's just like, you know, but then like we'll switch over to like Diablo 3 or something like that, you know. But again, literally everything I'm playing on the PS5, with the exception of Miles Morales and Maquette, I can play on the PS4.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a rush to grab it right now.
Which, and again, I felt that. I felt like I'm good. Other, like, yeah, the haptic feedback or whatever in the controller I hear is amazing, which I'd love to experience. And I'll get there. So.
Oh, I will say, like, the best game I've played so far with the haptic feedback was Astro's Playroom, which comes on the
Oh,
PS5.
yeah. It's kind of a
Like they
demo of the
really,
system. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. That's exactly. It's a game that they give you for free. Again, it's only like you can finish it in 3 or 4 hours, but it really shows you how the haptic feedback works, and
Awesome.
it's fantastic. Like I can't wait for other games to come out with like that, you know, to come out just to feel that haptic feedback.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds good. I'd like to apologize in advance. Apparently, I guess the gardeners are here. So if you hear the all the noise and everything outside, I do apologize.
I'll yell
at them later.
Well, we're used to listening to the noise coming out of your mouth, so I think we're okay.
Wow. And with that, folks, we will catch you everywhere. No, let's get into it. Let's talk about it right now.
You set yourself up for that.
I did. No, you're right. That's, hey, listen, I'm here. I'm the pitcher. So I'm here to set you up. At, you knock it out of the park.
That's the job.
Three big things, big newses. Right?
Newses. Going on. Big
Why
newses.
Not? Why not? Newsies, right? Let's Newsies. Start, yes. Let's talk about the birthday first. We got a big birthday happening that, God, we're getting old.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I can tell that. Every time I see you, you've got like 50 more grays.
No, well, all right. Now it's getting a little.
Damn. No, it's okay. Mine are coming in over here.
Yeah, okay. Seventh grade. All started in seventh grade. So there we go. Yeah.
What happened to you in seventh grade?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that's when this started.
Which teacher did it?
None of them. I loved all of them.
Lies.
Even the mean ones I loved.
Because they made you love them.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, as I drool my friggin' drink. No. I mean, we are dealing with, again, another special retro birthday. One that we both are very happy to talk about because we've both played through the game entirely. If I'm
yes. Right?
Yep. We've both completed this game. Not part of our contest, which we still haven't gone back to. We're pathetic. So
let's stop promising things.
Well, no, I just don't understand what happened to our competitive spirit. Anyway, it's the 25th anniversary, and you are correct. I do own this because you got it for me. But it was funny for a little while. I'm like, do I have this game? I'm not sure if I have this game. I go, didn't Larry buy it for me for like a birthday or something? But anyway, so we are celebrating. We are in the midst of the 25th.
Oofa.
25th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers RPG or Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Super Mario RPG released in Japan March 9th, 1996. Yep. We got our hands on it May 13th of the same year. And really, probably one of the, if not the second after Mario Kart, of such a drastic change in a Mario series.
Yeah.
That I remember when they announced Super Mario RPG, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this. And man, was I wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, like, none of us knew what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just kind of like, all right, I mean, this is different. We'll see what happens. Because, you know, back then, the RPGs that were coming out, you had your Final Fantasies, you had your Dragon Warrior, you had, Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had all of these other series that were geared towards RPG. Mario was never considered an RPG, you know, in any way, shape, or form. But then, obviously, they started to branch out the Mario franchise. You know, to Larry's point, it went from Super Mario to Super Mario Kart. So they were trying different things. So they went, hey, let's try an RPG game with it. And boy, did they hit a home run.
And, you know, it makes sense to hit a home run because Square developed it. So, you know, the company...
Square that makes Final Fantasy.
Exactly. And that's... The game plays out like a Final Fantasy game, which is why I don't know why I never really went to a Final Fantasy game then, because I enjoyed the gameplay of Super Mario RPG. The story is fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because of the characters, but I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, the characters are iconic, and then the way that... Okay, so... I think the Mario universe itself and the fact that it's very tongue in cheek.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's like, it's that world that you enjoy. So regardless of how they position the game. So in other words, you know, like I said, it's like Mario Kart, Mario Picross, Mario 64, Mario Party. Like, you're kind of buying into the characters in the world. And I think that's why you lean towards Mario RPG. Final Fantasy, when you get into it, it's definitely the elements are more fantastical. You're talking, wizards and all these other kinds of things and whatnot. You're also talking about, like, obviously what other games like Final Fantasy VII, like when they started switching it and gearing it towards humans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then it became like a little bit like more realistic and more serious in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on your taste in terms of which worlds do you like to live in when you game.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I honestly think that's why you just kind of stuck with RPG, Mario RPG.
Probably.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I did not realize this. Super Mario RPG was the last Mario game published for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that.
I don't know why I thought Yoshi's Island was, but obviously not.
No, I guess not. But you know what? They went out swinging with that one because I remember just playing through that. I'm like, God, I've had so much fun with this game. And at that point, my RPG experience wasn't that involved. So
yeah, this was... I was just gonna say it's probably my second RPG.
Yeah, I don't remember. I can't remember back far enough. This might have been my first because I played Chrono Trigger later.
You see, I don't remember when I picked up. Like, I still don't know how I got my hands on Shining Force. But
right, Shining Force I played before that.
I'm sure I played Shining Force probably before this. I just can't remember. But this was also like one of the first games where, you know, like you get like Mario and Bowser teaming up for the first time.
Yep.
Which is always kind of weird to see, taking the Mario group outside of the Mushroom Kingdom, basically.
Yep.
What's his name? Who will never be seen again.
Oh, Gino. Gino. Oh my God. Why can't, is there any reason?
But also,
like, Gino was like my favorite character in the game.
What do you think of the graphics of it? Had like that, you know, like Final Fantasy. Well, not actually, no. Final Fantasy kind of went 2D in its fighting style, where Super Mario RPG had that kind of pseudo 3D isometric, yeah. I guess they call it.
Yes.
Like, what do you think of the graphics on it at the time for Super Nintendo?
I thought they were just like, to me, they were just so advanced looking. You know what I mean? Anything that gave you that cheat of a 3D look, you know, yeah. And again, like, I mean, just turning again, doing that, like that 3/4 view, just turning it so it looks like this, like was enough to make it look 3D. I thought it was really cool. And then to your point, it's like turning the mythology a little bit on its head by like all of a sudden Bowser is, you know, your ally. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, introducing new characters again, one we'll never see again. Although Malo, I personally haven't seen in any other games either.
I don't remember Malo.
Malo was the cloud marshmallow.
Oh yeah,
guy.
That's right.
So I think he showed up in something else, but not as a playable character. To my understanding, I think he did. Mm-hmm. But like, to me, Gino was like one of the best characters I've ever seen. And I think there was like an Easter egg of him in something.
Probably like in a Smash series.
No, like literally there's like a Gino doll.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in another game. Because I remember coming across and I said, oh, wait, I go, there's Gino. I'm like, and that's literally the only time you've ever seen him again. Like, they've never brought him out as a playable character. No idea why.
I'd like to mention something real quick, because I'm sure there's a lot of people probably screaming at the TV or their podcast. Yes, they are in the Mushroom Kingdom. What I meant by stepping out of the Mushroom Kingdom is just like that difference in like gameplay. You see other parts of the Mushroom Kingdom. So, like, it didn't really feel like traditional Mushroom Kingdom, I guess I should say. So I just wanted to get on that before someone yells at me.
Understood.
Unfun gamer.
He loves to yell at you, and I love to hear it
every time. The game was fantastic. Definitely had a lasting series. Yep. Also, it spawned. It ended up becoming. Oh, I lost my page. It ended up becoming the first in a long series of Mario RPGs.
Yes, because Paper Mario, right? That came out after
Paper Mario. All those, I mean, that got about 4 or 5 games out of it. The Mario and Luigi series on the Game Boy Advance and DS.
Yep.
3DS. Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga on the Game Boy Advance was phenomenal, in my opinion. You can download it on the Wii U Virtual Console as well. Which, by the way, the Wii, side note, Wii U just got a firmware update.
Oh.
Like last week.
Should I turn my Wii U on?
I guess. I don't. I think it's just like stability stuff, but I can't imagine what else it is. But I did get an update.
Well, I mean, considering I can play my Wii on it, I might as well just do that.
I highly recommend to download Superstar Saga on the Wii U Virtual Console. Mm-hmm. Very, very good RPG game. And again, that led to 6. Kind of 5 or 6 Mario and Luigi RPGs, one of which takes place inside of Bowser. So, well, that's a weird one.
Definitely is. And so, I mean, without Super Mario RPG, we never would have seen those.
No, exactly. So Super Mario RPG was a literal game changer. That Ant said led to Paper Mario, led to Mario and Luigi. And yeah, 25 years later, it's available on the Super NES Classic. It's available on the Nintendo Switch console, the Super Nintendo Virtual Console. So if you haven't tried it, absolutely check it out. Obviously, it's not a one, you know, you'll just sit down for one gameplay,
but no,
you will find yourself invested.
Yep. And if we, Larry, if we have a couple of minutes, I did pull up some things you may never have known about Super Mario RPG.
Let's do it.
So let's flip through these really quickly.
Sure.
First thing that you may or may not know about this, right? So you can
skip the PlayStation.
For Super Mario RPG. You can skip the first boss.
Really?
Mac, the mini sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a glitch in the game where you can skip having the fight. So when you first enter the throne room, basically, you walk to the left side of where the Shy Guys are.
Okay.
And when you can, you jump on their heads and walk across them. If you jump off onto the platform with Mac and talk to the Chancellor, you just avoid the cutscene altogether that starts the fight.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you can do that. Okay. The soundtrack of the game was composed by the man who created the soundtrack for Street Fighter 2.
Ooh, and that
his name
did not
was Shimomura.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
He also did also did Yoko Shimomura. She did the soundtrack for Street Fighter 2 and then later on did Legend of Mana and the Kingdom Hearts games.
Oh wow. That's big time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I kind of want to go back now and listen to Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, the soundtrack's really good.
Yeah.
It was the most advanced 3D Mario at its release, as we talked about. When the game was released, it was only 3 months before we got the Nintendo 64.
Really? Yeah, that would be the last. Then that would be the last game, Mario game on the
Super NES. And that's a large reason why a lot of people kind of wound up maybe missing it, because everybody was already looking forward to the Mario 64. I'm so glad I picked it up for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You
know, before I got my 64. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was not released in Europe.
No, I was just reading that actually on the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the reason why is because Europe on their TVs, they have that PAL screen, and PAL runs at 25 frames per second. But in the US and Japan, everything runs at 30 frames per second. So they never adapted it to the PAL version.
Not until, I think, 2008 when they finally got it on their virtual consoles.
Correct. That's when they finally got it. There are mini games in Super Mario RPG. So for all we know, this could have opened up the doors to Mario Party. There are 11. Is it 11? There are over 12 mini games. Why would you say that in an article, over 12? Does it mean there were 13?
I know.
It's
actually 174, but they're like, over 12.
Yeah, there are over 12 mini games in the thing, including a Galaga's type shooter called Beetlemania, where you're shooting shells.
Why do I feel like I remember that?
Yep. So, and then there are a whole bunch of other games in there. And again, this is something we always talk about with this game. It spawned popular characters we've never seen again, most notably Gino and Malo.
Yes,
right. Malo and Gino. Like, I love, I always talk about Gino, but I never really talk about Malo, and neither of them have really been anywhere. So Gino has a cameo actually in a game you just mentioned.
Smash?
No, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, where he hosts the mini game Star Stash Smash.
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, I mean, it's been forever since I played that game, but yeah.
And then to your point, Masahiro Sakurai, I don't know if I said that right, he's the creator of Super Smash Brothers. He's mentioned wanting to add Gino in the game ever since Super Smash Brothers Brawl, but he doesn't have the power to. That's entirely up to Nintendo to do that. And then also, they did the crossover, obviously, with Cloud from Final Fantasy and Super Smash Brothers, but they never did Gino. And I wonder if the issue is partially because it's Square related. Like, maybe Square owns the rights to these guys too, like in some type of split.
Maybe, yeah.
Let's see, what else can I tell you? You can get a super suit in the game if you do 100 super jumps in a row.
Hmm. I don't think I've ever done that.
Yep, I don't think I've ever done that either. If you talk to in Monstro Town, if you talk to one of what is it here? Is a what the you know the things that drop down on you, the big monster chomp things, not chomp, but chow.
Thwomps.
Thwomps. You go into a room there where basically you talk to somebody. They keep track of how many successive jumps you get with your super jump special attack. If you do 100 of them, you get a super suit.
Huh. All right, I got to check that out.
Which is cool. If you do 30 jumps, you get an attack scarf.
I think I remember that.
But the super suit is one of the best armors for Mario in the game.
Maybe I did get that.
On the journey through, and I don't remember this. Maybe I didn't do this, but on the journey through Mario RPG, you can meet Link from Legend of Zelda and Samus from Metroid.
I do not remember that.
During different times throughout the game, and by the way, the article I'm reading from is from screenrant.com. They always put up these articles with like different stuff. So if you're interested in these, please check it out. During different times throughout the game, you can find Link from Legend of Zelda and Samus from Metroid sleeping in the Mushroom Kingdom. After you defeat Bowser, go back to the inn in Rosetown and spend the night. When you wake up, a sleeping Link will be in the bed next to you.
I think I do remember that now.
If you try to wake him up, you'll hear the signature sound when Link discovers a secret. And then if you've acquired the fifth star piece from the sunken ship, you can go back to the Mushroom Kingdom and search the guest room in the palace. You'll find Samus wearing her armor to bed, saying she's resting up for Mother Brain.
I don't think I remember Samus, but now yep. I'm starting to think I remember Link.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
Let's see another bit here. Let's see. I like that. Mario can be forced into indentured servitude at some point in the game.
All right.
I remember this. At the Marrymore Inn, there's a honeymoon suite, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have enough funds to stay in the honeymoon suite, you can rent a regular room under the deluxe suite for an extra cost. You stay as many nights as you can stay as many nights as you want, but if you go downstairs and you don't have enough money for the tab, you actually have to work off the bill. You work as a bellhop until you pay off your debt.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of fun. I'll
have to check that out.
Let's see. Mario, let's see. I'll skip that one. F-Zero and Star Fox cameos.
Ton of cameos.
Yeah, a lot of cameos. Very easy to miss Easter egg involves the cameo appearance of Captain Falcon and Samurai Gora's ships from mm-hmm. F-Zero and Star Fox okay. in a private figurine collection. In the lava dragon boss, when you fight the lava dragon boss, he's the one that you get the sixth star piece from, but then it gets stolen. Basically, there's a point over there where you go into a room and sitting on top of these crates.
Yeah.
You have the F-Zero ship.
Yeah, I'm listening.
And the and Falcon. Are you sleeping yet? and Captain Falcon's ship from Star Fox. You know,
again, I vaguely remember. Yeah.
And then the last one I'll just share is that okay. It is, and I guess this is an old article. It was available on the Wii and the Wii U virtual consoles. It's on the Switch now too, right?
Yeah. It's part of the Super NES collection.
Yeah. So if you have Nintendo Switch Online, you can go play Super Mario RPG right now because it's in your collection.
Absolutely.
And so, that is all I want to share on Super Mario RPG.
Happy 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Good big Lord. 25.
Can everything just stop getting old, please? Let's just stop.
No, if there's one thing we can't stop, it's time.
Oh, time is but a door. I'll be back.
Time is but a door. Wait, what is it? Death is but a door. Time is but a window.
Ooh, wow, nice pull.
I shall return.
Nice.
I will be back.
Pull.
Yes.
Ghostbusters 2.
Vigo.
Why is my drippings with goo? Movie's fantastic. All right, so speaking of movies and a wonderful other franchise, as we wish Super Mario RPG a wonderful birthday, just dropping this week actually is a trailer for what I thought was going to be a movie. Mm-hmm. Ends up going to be a video game. Either way, take my money again.
Yep, they can have my money too.
So from the makers of Streets of Rage 4, have you played that yet? Streets of Rage 4? Fantastic game.
I know. I feel badly because I wanted to play it and I still haven't bought it.
From Dotemu, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Dotemu. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Coming out on PC and consoles. No release date yet. Donimus, who did Streets of Rage 4 and Tribute Games, studio that brought us Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the TMNT Game Boy Advance games.
Yes.
Or game. Is coming out with this game, TMNT Shredder's Revenge, which it's not a direct, but you can almost say it is a, not an homage, but it's done in the styling of Turtles in Time.
Yes.
Which I cannot wait for this game to come out.
Oh, no. It looks amazing. And, that, you know, I love the fact that developers are going back to the most popular games in a franchise
mm-hmm.
and creating a, essentially like a sequel to it in a sense. You know what yeah, I mean? Yep. Like, because there's so much to farm from now. It's
totally.
It's almost essentially like the movie industry doing a remake, except you don't have to do a remake of a video game. You can just do a sequel.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And it's got game design and design of the turtles from the 80s cartoon, which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time.
Yep. Oh, it's fantastic.
If you watch the trailer, it's the original cartoon theme song, which is why I thought it was a movie at first.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're doing a movie in this style? I mean, put it in the theaters. I'll go. You know, vaccine or not, I'll head there.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being a video game. Forgive me, I don't remember his name, but the singer from Fall Out Boy is doing the rendition of this of the Turtles theme song. From the website, the features of the game, again, design from the 80s, pixel art graphics, old school gameplay with super fresh mechanics, up to four players simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You could play with iconic TMNT characters and vehicles in the game. New storyline. And I got to admit, at first, it felt like TMNT 2, the arcade game. And then it felt like TMNT 4, Turtles in Time. And then in a weird way, maybe just a mixing of the two. I don't know how the hell you could do that. But
no.
But you get the nostalgia chills big time with this thing.
Oh yeah, no question about it. So and just watching the trailer before we, you know, recorded this episode, I was like, this is interesting. I'm like, they're doing a full yeah, obviously the full animated open. But then just the gameplay, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this is a no-brainer. Need to play this now.
I'll just again quoting the website, the story of this game. With Bebop and Rocksteady assaulting Channel 6 and stealing super gnarly devices to support Krang and Shredder's latest twisted plot, TMNT Shredder's Revenge sees the Turtles battling across a righteous range of timeless TMNT locations. From Manhattan and Coney Island to the city rooftops and dank sewers, help the fearsome foursome trounce foot soldiers, Triceraton warriors, and rock troops. I don't remember the rock troops. All the way to Dimension X.
Works for me. I'm all in.
Yes.
You know, and since we're talking about the Turtles, I will say one video game franchise that managed to completely flip themselves on their head and make it insanely better. If you think about the original TMNT game on the NES.
Say that again.
TMNT.
Okay.
The original game on the NES. Mm-hmm. And then you think about the second one where they just said, we're taking the arcade game and putting it out.
Yep.
I was like, that was just, yeah.
No, you're right.
Brilliant. It was a brilliant move. Because that first game, I mean, I liked the first game, but it was a slog.
Oh, yeah, totally. I hate that game.
A lot of people hate that game.
So we'll talk more as we get closer. Again, no release date set, but definitely for PCs and consoles. I haven't mentioned which ones. I'm assuming all of them. So we look forward to that.
Yep.
And with the time remaining, I think it's time to talk about some...
What we said this episode would be about?
Basically, yeah. So we finally get to it at the end. Another video game documentary has come out, and right now we are going to mention, and we're going to just touch on episode one of Playing with Power, the Nintendo story that somehow people remembered Crackle was a thing and put it on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
So episode one, season one, episode one, Play Your Cards Right. And you want to give like a little synopsis of this episode and kind of your thoughts right off the bat?
Yeah, essentially. So like the general synopsis of the first episode, and just a precursor to that, Larry and I said we were going to review the entire series, but neither of us had time. So we got through the first
episode. So long.
They are. They're really long episodes. But The first episode focuses on Nintendo, the company, and its rise to the video game empire that it becomes. And, mm-hmm. and it essentially, the first episode ends right at the point where the NES is about to be revealed.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where they get to. So they do the rise of Nintendo from the 1880s, because that's when Nintendo was invented.
1889.
Became a business. 1889 until about 1984, mm-hmm. I think. I want to say mm-hmm. roughly 83, 84.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah, give or take. So basically how they made it all the way through those years before they even went into the video game industry. And they go through the I have my little notes here, so I'm gonna pull out my notes. Okay. So you know, they basically go through the Yamauchi family, because mm-hmm. they are the ones that created Nintendo. Very interesting, like little interesting bits to learn, where it's like the I forgot his first name, the first Yamauchi.
I'm not gonna remember their names.
But how he had to adopt a son in order to pass the business on to, because
that was
he
interesting,
did,
yeah.
Yeah, because that was just a culture thing there, where it's like you always pass everything on to a boy. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a son, so he adopted a kid.
He basically adopted an adult, actually, one of the workers.
Yeah. Yeah, he adopted somebody. Mm-hmm. They changed their name to Yamauchi so that he would be in the line of succession for the company. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who knows the history of Nintendo, you already know these things. Like, they were a playing card company first. And they created these cards called Hanafuda cards. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, gambling was a big issue, so they couldn't make like regular playing cards.
Western playing cards we know and love today, yeah, were not allowed to be imported in Japan back then.
Exactly. So they created these other cards, Hanafuda cards, which had different
seasons.
The four seasons, basically, and what made it
as opposed to the four tops.
Yeah, exactly. So like Cherry Blossoms was one mm-hmm. of the cards mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So and that's how they kept their business going. It wasn't until the 60s, 1960s mm-hmm. when they really started to branch out. Well, in the 50s they made a deal with Disney to do
Yeah,
Disney
that
Disney.
I never knew. Or at least I don't remember. Know. Yeah.
Yeah, that I didn't know. Like, they made a deal with Disney in the 50s.
Spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't watched it yet. Let's drop that real quick. Spoiler alert. Plus, also, this is a story as old as time. So,
yeah, and we'll talk about, like, how we feel about the episode. But just to run through really quick things on it. One thing I never knew, either I knew it and I forgot it, was what Nintendo means. Like, it just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, Nintendo. It's three different words that they put together mm-hmm. to make Nintendo. Nin means luck, ten means heaven, do means hall or place. So mm-hmm. the name means luck, heaven, place.
Yep. I feel like I might have known that. You're right. It's something
I think,
you heard sometime.
I think I
sometime.
Knew it, but it kind of fell out of my head. So anyway, getting back to the 50s, it's like that's when they tried to start branching out. They struck a deal with Disney. This is the third president, the third Yamauchi mm-hmm. To be president of the company. Struck a deal with Disney to make Disney-themed playing cards and did well. And then it was in the 60s when everything started to change for them. They entered the stock market. Yeah. They tried different things that just all failed.
Yeah, that was weird.
So, which I thought was weird. So we're talking about in the early 60s, Nintendo taxis.
Which is interesting.
Nintendo love hotels.
Which is real interesting.
Yep. Nintendo TV network.
That I did not know.
I didn't know about that. And Nintendo Instant Rice.
I did kind of know that one.
I knew that one. I didn't know about the
TV network,
And the love hotels just sound fun. but then it was in 1966 when they switched over to Nintendo Toy Company and they started producing toys.
Which so some of those toys look cool.
Yeah, some of them really did look cool. So again, you should check those out. And then after the Odyssey came out, Magnavox Odyssey, and video games and arcades started to come out, that's when Nintendo saw their future, where it's like mm-hmm. this is where we need to go. And then they basically go into the story of early Nintendo with the consoles and the arcades, and how their arcade games were basically copies of popular games,
outright, like, clones, you know,
they literally clone, like, Space Invaders and Galaga and stuff like that.
It's like everything but Pac-Man they cloned,
basically everything but Pac-Man. And then they put out consoles. They put out the TV Game 6, the TV Game 15. Mm-hmm. And then they opened up their office in North America, originally in New York, but then moved to Seattle because it was closer to the Pacific Ocean, closer to Japan. And then right when we were getting to the good stuff, right, when they were about to transition over, that was the end of the episode, where they asked an artist who just so happened to not be busy at the moment, named Shigeru Miyamoto, to develop a game. And it was just off the cuff, and they said, you're not busy right now trying to develop a game, and that's where Donkey Kong came from.
You're not busy drawing. Come up with a game.
Basically.
So,
because he was basically just doing, like, the art, like the game art for, like, the arcade cabinets.
Yep.
And then they asked him to create a game, and the rest is history. Now, that's as far as the episode got. Mm-hmm. That was basically the gist of it. They put the Universal lawsuit in there with Donkey Kong for a bit, for a brief moment too. And then they have a bunch of former Nintendo employees in there. Some notable names like Nolan Bushnell, who was the founder of Atari. And then, of course, some celebrities were in there as well. Like a couple of streamers were in there. They had Will Wheaton in there.
Boo!
Larry's favorite person in the world.
I've met him. I'm allowed to say that.
I don't care what you say. Will Wheaton is awesome.
I think he works at Limited Run.
He might. but anyway, so all in all, like, I mean, it was basically an introductory episode to get you to where the real meat of the story is going to be, which is when Nintendo really hits its stride.
So, yeah, and again, and I'm not saying everyone knows the story, don't get me wrong. I know it, Anthony knows it, and a lot of our listeners, we know that you've heard the story of Nintendo. You know about Nintendo. Like, I've heard the story that talked about the one president that came in and fired all of his relatives.
Yep.
You know, I knew about that. So for me, so reaction-wise now to the episode.
Yes.
The way it's presented, first of all, is awesome. I love the little, what do you call them?
Dioramas.
Dioramas. I love all of those. Those are really cool. I love the interviews with the people who were there, the people, the insiders, the ones who were doing it. All joking aside, except for Wheaton, I don't really need to hear from streamers or anything because I'm a gamer, so I know what it feels like.
Yeah,
I hope they do more with company insiders and developers as well.
Yes.
But yeah, this first episode was just more, no pun intended, more of the same of stuff that I've already heard.
Yes.
The potential is there though. So I'll tune in. I'll check out episode two. But for now, it was just a lot of interesting. Okay. Knew this, knew that. Nothing really, I think, stuck out to me like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, exactly. Like there were a couple of things where I'm like, okay, love hotels. That's weird. But you know, there were a couple of things that popped out that I didn't know, but to your point, for the most part, it was just kind of a quick history of mostly general stuff everybody knew. The other thing that I find that will always be lacking in these, and I don't know if any of the documentaries have done this. I'm trying to remember back to the one we watched before on
High
Netflix. But because this one is so Nintendo specific, I want to hear more from people in Japan, like Nintendo of Japan. Like we get a little bit of Shigeru in there, like stock footage of Shigeru talking about stuff, but I don't remember any, there were no real conversations yet of these people today.
Well, a lot of them are dead, first of all. And
that part I get, but I'm,
and do you think, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying like, do you think it's just a cultural thing where they just like that generation, like Miyamoto just doesn't, I don't really ever seen Miyamoto do too many interviews,
I think more of what it is it's I just think this is a westernized documentary that did not, I don't know, like again, we're not at that point yet. I'm curious to see in episode two.
Yeah, there might come,
there might be, there might be some. So but if you notice, like they relied very heavily on everybody in this documentary were people who worked at Nintendo of America, Nolan Bushnell from Atari, Tom Kalinske from Sega. So
to be fair, we are talking over 100 years ago. So you're right. Maybe these interviews are coming in the next few episodes.
Right. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
I hear
like,
you though.
Who they interview in the future episodes. But otherwise, like to me right now, like there was nothing monumental in this episode. So I'm curious to see where they go with the next one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Potential. Definitely. For us, it's like I said, a little repetitive, but we'll see what happens in the next episodes. And as we watch them, you know, we won't do as much of a deep dive into it like we do with High Score, but we'll mention them as we come along.
Right. But the bottom line is, like, for anybody who's looking for a crash course in Nintendo's history and you want a quick hit, you know, just a quick hit of how they came to be, the first episode is just a good, it's a good episode to watch. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. But it'll basically give you the origin of Nintendo, the company.
Exactly. All right. And I think with that, we're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, I'm done talking to you.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to ask you to do just a little bit more talking and tell these people where they can find us.
Absolutely. You guys can find us on Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast. You can find us on Instagram at RetroGamersPodcast, Twitter at RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are absolutely everywhere. You can also watch our episodes on YouTube and IGTV. And if you feel so compelled to get in touch with us, you can message us on Facebook or email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes, that basically covered everything. Ant, have a good week.
You have a good week as well. Enjoy your trip to Game On. Can't wait to see all the things that you buy.
Neither can I. And folks, we will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.